Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I, as always, am Jason Ophir, joined by psychic medium Sherry. Hey, Sherry, how's it going?
Pretty good. Just tired today. I don't know. It's kind of low, you know, but I'm pulling through. What about you, Jason?
I'm doing all right, you know, not a lot to report. I will say hospital life has been stressful with all the respiratory ailments and the everything that's going on with the coronavirus. I've definitely seen some of that, and it's been going okay. Fortunately, you know, I was one of the people that did not get their flu shot, and I'm still have been evading these nefarious respiratory viruses, so I'm thankful for that, but I need to knock on wood because I could be stricken down at any moment.
Oh, my gosh. Try not to think negatively if you can help it. You can help it anyway, right?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, there's a lot of flu. I'll tell you that right now. There's a lot of positive flu going on. So it's very prominent out there.
Wow, that's crazy. My goodness. Well, you're trying to eat right, and I'm working out and that kind of thing. So I'm hopefully, you know, if I do get it, it'll be a little lighter case.
Well, hopefully we can just hope for the best that we all avoid that.
Yep.
Well, we have an outstanding return guest tonight, Clyde Lewis, host of Ground Zero, heard nationally. And I listened to Clyde's show, Ground Zero, on the way home from work at night. And I think without any further ado, let's get him on. I know we have a lot to talk about. I think we're going to touch on the coronavirus a little bit. So I'm going to bring him on.
How's it going?
Hey, Clyde. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just glad to be here.
Good. You have your night off, too, finally.
Yeah, it's kind of a night off in a way. I've been trying to take it easy, but it's been difficult. A lot of stuff going on. It's like you feel like you're not doing enough, and you need to do more, and it just doesn't seem like you're doing enough to keep up with everything. And you don't want to come off looking like you're panicking, but then again, you know, you want to come off looking like you don't care, and that's the hard part. That's the confusion for a lot of people.
It is. And I noticed on your show, you covered the coronavirus. I think that seems like every time you either open media or you open up the, you know, the radio or TV, they're always covering that. And I'm curious, what is your take on this whole situation, Clyde, about this coronavirus and how it's become a pandemic? And just want to see what you feel, what your research has been.
Well, I knew this was going to happen 2 years ago, and I knew that this was in the planning for about 2 years. I did a presentation called Clade X, which eventually evolved into Disease X, and then came, you know, these tabletop exercises from, you know, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the United Nations, and also we look at the tabletop exercises from the World Forum, and they were actually planning on all this, but they were planning on millions of deaths. I don't know if we're ever going to reach that point, but people reminding you of the statistics, what they're doing is they're reminding you of statistics that are about 4 weeks old, saying things like, well, look at this, look at how many people have died compared to how many people lived. Well, yeah, okay, great, you know, but that's not what they're in. They're not in the business of using the recoveries. They're in the business of showing the deaths so that people will do something about it, showing this is the potential. See, all things, when we speak of what's going on here, what we're doing here is we're speaking of potentials. And it's all potentials in the extremes. And when we're doing potentials in the extremes, you have to plan for outcomes rather than saying, well, look where we are now. Well, yeah, look where we are now. Look at how exponentially it grows, and then saying, you know, try to put a good face on it to save the economy. I mean, let's face it. You know, what's going to make the president popular, what's going to make government popular is if they just stop saying everything's okay. Everything's not okay. Everything's not okay from the standpoint that, you know, we have the World Health Organization, we have all these other groups, you know, telling us, well, you better do this, you better do that. It's like it's the critical parent. I mean, critical parent tells you that you need to come home at 10 o'clock at night even though you want to stay out till 11 o'clock. I remember my father used to always tell me, he says, if you're out past midnight, the devil's always doing things past midnight. Well, I always said to myself, well, I'd never do anything bad, you know, after midnight. Why do I have to come home at 10 o'clock? Well, there's a reason, because parents are looking out for you and they want to make sure. And they're worrying. And even though you're a young adult, you're thinking they're over worrying. That's what they do. They worry because they don't want a bad outcome. And when they get older and you get older and you realize that that bad outcome probably won't be there, or it always has the potential to be there, then you take precautions and you adapt. And that's what's going on now. The government and the World Health Organization are becoming the critical parent. And you have the defiant teenagers out there saying, well, it's just the flu. Why are people worrying about the flu? It's not the flu, for one thing. Second of all, it is a sequenced virus. It's a novel sequence virus, so they don't know how it operates. They don't know what it can do next. They don't know. They just know that the extreme nature of it, there are three different stages, and the third stage is fatal. It's all they know, and that's all we know, and that's all people want to avoid. But the problem is the fact that misinformation and disinformation creates chaos. And when we don't have the right kind of information, people go out and they do things that they don't normally do. I call it apocalypse morality. And that is, in an apocalypse, where's your morality? Where does it stand? I mean, are laws still applicable? Are things you do applicable? I mean, what would you do to save your family? Would you steal something? Would you dumpster dive? Would you, you know, these are all the things that come to mind. And now what we're learning is that the apocalypse morality is revolved around hand sanitizer and toilet paper. And the reason why is because when they go into a store, they see the biggest things that are there on the shelf, and they're the cheapest things. So people in a fit of panic buy the cheapest things, and the biggest thing they see and the cheapest thing they can put their hands on, and that seems to be what they do. And they do this because of the fact that they're thinking to themselves that they're doing something. They feel like they're doing something when they do something like that, when in reality what they're doing is they're forgetting there are other people that need it too. There are older people that may need something, and so their selfishness takes hold. And you've got a lot of people. There was a group in Tennessee. A bunch of young men went into a store, and they bought up all the hand sanitizer, thinking they could like mark it up 300% and sell it to people. Well, they were doing that, but then they got caught, and they got forced to having to donate all that hand sanitizer out. And that's because of the fact that people do that. They do it, and then they price gouge, and people are willing to buy it if they feel that their lives are in need of it. Well, no, you don't need hand sanitizer. All you need to do is wash your hands. Hand sanitizer is a great luxury if you have it. But, you know, it's like, you know, those people are, you know, they're freaking out because of the potential. It has nothing to do with the reality. And the reality is that at the moment, we're holding steady with about, you know, a 1%, 2% mortality rate. Well, there was a new study that was produced in the Lancet that was called Real Estimates of Mortality Following COVID-19 Infection. And they wrote this. They wrote global death rate from the coronavirus is settling in around 5.7%. So it's a 5.7 mortality rate, which is 57 times higher than the seasonal flu. And so this is a potential of 5.7% death rate. And so the mortality rate of COVID-19 could be as high as 20% in Wuhan, and that's because in Wuhan they're not as healthy there. But see, this is consistent with what we already know about what happens when, like for example, if the local hospitals are overrun and the patients no longer have access to critical care, what happens? The death rate will skyrocket from 5% to 10 to 20%. And that is because of the failure of the medical system to take care of people that are being admitted in. This is the potential. Now, if our emergency rooms can pretty much handle the load, which they can't, because here's the thing, we have people going into hospitals that don't even have symptoms that go in wondering if they have coronavirus because they're afraid they have it, rather than going when they know they have something wrong with them. So they go in, and what happens? People with heart attacks and people with strokes and people with immediate injuries and problems all have to wait because of the fact that there are people not coughing, not doing anything, exposing themselves to people who may have it. So the best thing for you to do is social distancing. That's why they say stay home. They say don't go out. You know, if you must, don't go out. You know, don't be in large crowds. Don't go in places where you're going to be knowing you're going to be spreading the coronavirus. And it's just common sense. I mean, you want to be able to, you want to be able to do things what you want to do, but they have to do this. They have to make it mandatory because people don't listen. I was one time with my wife, and we were in a movie theater, and there was a guy out in the parking lot that was threatening suicide. He had a gun, and he was sitting in his car with a gun to his head, and he called the police, and he said, he was going to commit suicide. Well, what happened is they locked down the theater, and they had sharpshooters and all kinds of people on the roofs and everything because they were afraid he was going to go into the theater and start shooting people. So we were told we couldn't leave the theater. And we thought, oh, okay, well, we won't leave the theater. We're in a movie theater, for crying out loud. We got popcorn. We got candy. We got movies, right? We can do whatever we want in this thing as long as, we're safe. You know, I'll go see another movie or I'll eat some popcorn. I'll go do something while we're there. It's not like you're in a bad place to be held up for an hour or two. And so what had happened, though, is that people were waiting in the foyer, and this one guy, I don't know who he was, but I had to tell him to calm the hell down. And he was a big guy, too. He had muscles. But he said, they can't hold us here. It's against our rights. They can't hold us here. I got to go. I said, where do you need to go? And he goes, it's none of your damn business. I said, listen. I said, you're causing a problem for people. You need to calm down. Don't tell me what to do. I said, listen, we're all in this together. And we're all here. We've got plenty of popcorn. We've got plenty of candy. We've got plenty of things to do. And I know if we were here for 2 or 3 days, it'd be a different story. This is just an hour out of your life, maybe 2 hours out of your life until this guy calms down. See, people don't do that. They don't want to be told that they can't do something. Americans aren't used to being told no. We got to realize that we have to learn that maybe in a situation like this, regardless of how you feel, if it's just a flu or a sniffle or something, it's the other people that may die is what they're looking at. The young people, I'm going to spring break whether you like it or not. If I die, I die. It doesn't matter if you're going to die. It matters if you spread the virus and grandma down the road dies. That's what it is. And I don't think people understand that. And everything now should be, all the movements we do should be done out of respect. And you should take a look at the other countries and how they're handling. And this is what the United States is going to be I immediately told my audience, I said, the next phase will be national emergency. It'll be possibly a medical surveillance state, and that'll be it. And there'll be lockdowns. Oh no, there won't. That's just over the kill. No, look at what's going on with Italy. Italy was locked down. Spain is locked down. France is locked down. If these countries are on lockdown, I'm sure they can lock down the United States. But I know there are many people who won't listen, and they'll go out and they'll do something stupid, and that's why. The containment is so difficult because, I'm in a building right now, my building where I work. Across the street, somebody tested positive for coronavirus. Now, I have to go to work every day, and I haven't been told to stay home, but they were already talking about the possibility of me doing a broadcast from home so I wouldn't be in this building so I'd be exposed to coronavirus. Well, here I am. I'm back in the building again, and the idea of being exposed, I have a friend of mine who the other day said, well, my wife's got pneumonia. I'm going, oh, my God, are you kidding me? And you're sitting here with me? And he was like all like, wondering what was going on. And I says, look, in a pandemic, you have to suspect if somebody has this going on that maybe they have something more. And even though you don't feel it and I don't feel it, we could eventually feel it. And I'm just saying it's not a point of me worrying about dying. It's about not wanting to be sick and not wanting to have to feel, isolated and shut down. And I don't think people understand that that will be the end result, is isolation and shutting down the entire country, county by county, city by city. Schools are closed now. Pretty soon they're going to be closing bars. And some are already voluntarily shutting down bars. Bars are shutting down. Restaurants are going to shut down. Everything, and that's the thing, is that if you don't have food in your house, you're not going to be able to go eat at a McDonald's or at a you know, Carl's Jr. You're going to be stuck. And that's the whole point. It's all about, you've got to look at the end result, not look at where you are now, but look at the end result. What ending, you know, it's always say prepare for the worst, hope for the best. Well, prepare for the worst case scenario, because the worst case scenario can happen. And if it doesn't happen, well, good. Breathe a sigh of relief. You dodged a bullet. If it does happen and you have nothing, then, you know, you're pretty much screwed and no one's going to help you. First responders are going to go to the people that need it the most, and you're not going to be one of them. I mean, they're already in Portland now saying that the police are not going to show up to non-emergency calls. Now, that tells you something. If they're not going to show up to non-emergency calls, that means assault or anything else, they're going to ignore, unless it's a threat of life or death. So this is where we are now, and this is about potential. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do with what you think the flu is or what you think it is. It's about how they're reacting to it. And if they're reacting to it in this way, you need to also react to it in the same way. And not panic, but understand that you need to be prepared.
Well, I have to say, working in the front line of all this, maybe I've been a little naive. I haven't really paid it much thought. And now I'm starting to think, after talking to you, maybe I need to do a little preparing. Because like you said, if nothing happens, if it doesn't blow up, then, you know, no big deal. But if they're going to be shutting things down, if there's the potentiality for that, then that could be a huge problem. And I have not prepared personally at all for this. Because I just figured it was just going to blow over and be, you know, one of these things that just kind of passes through. But I could be wrong.
Well, you better find a way to get prepared now, because I'm reading right now, REI just shut down their stores, all of them. They're shutting them down now. There'll be plenty of other stores will follow suit, and when they do, you're not going to be able to get food out of the stores at all. In fact, now they're even rationing food. It was funny, because the first thing that prompted me to go buy anything at the house, because I've got, you know, prep food already that I get from my Patriot Supply. I have a thing called preparewithgroundzero.com, which people go in and they can get pretty much whatever they want at cost. And I've lowered the prices so everybody can order. I mean, the delay is going to be like maybe a week or two now because of all the demand. But, I mean, I've been doing this now for 2.5 years, and I lowered the cost of my food so people would have it in their homes, so this, just to prevent this very thing from happening. And now, you know, some people are saying, oh, this is just too expensive. And I'm like going, it's $2.80 a meal. I mean, come on. I mean, when you have food and you can get it for as cheap as $187 for a 4-week supply, $187, and people still complain, I shake my head and say, you know what? You're on your own. You are so on your own right now, because, you know, you go to a store and you're going to be, if you want to even stock up on anything, any large amount of food. And I've noticed this too since I've been shopping, that shopping carts are small. They don't carry half the stuff you need in your repertoire of food. People are only expecting you to buy 2 weeks worth of food. If you're buying a month's worth of food, no one's going to be buying that. So you have all these shopping carts that are too full and people can't, they're overstocking them. And I went into a store last night just to buy meat, because I went out and I bought a bunch of things, but I thought I want to stock the freezer. And there was meat on the shelves, but there were a lot of things that, you know, I wanted to buy for a teenager that weren't available, like certain types of Hot Pockets, pizza, you know, these types of things, all taken, because that's how Americans think. Get the frozen pizzas, you know, get this. They don't think about practical foods. They don't think about things that could last them for a while. They just think of quick fix. And it's because no one has been taught temperance. No one's been taught, you know, how to prepare for potentials. I mean, people who live in storm areas, they know how to prepare, because they know to prepare and stock up for things like hurricanes and floods and things of that nature. But most people don't. Most people go about their day, living their day-to-day, you know, getting their fast food or getting something from a food cart. And that's how I live at the office. And it's not going to be that way pretty soon if all these places shut down. Deliveries are up everywhere. I mean, things like Uber Eats and Postmates, they're getting a lot of job work in because no one wants to leave their homes. The other day I went to one of my favorite restaurants. It's always packed and you have to wait like an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes to get in. We got in 10 minutes. There was no line. So...
Wow.
I mean, it's basically keeping people home.
All I have is a can of beans, and I'm feeling like I need to go to the store ASAP, at least to get a couple weeks worth of stuff. Because, I mean, I think that's probably what I'll do is just get a bunch of canned chili, and stuff like that.
Well, what I did is I went and bought like a bunch of things. Like I just put into a crock pot. I made myself some chili this weekend, and I put it in a crock pot so I could have it. You know, I could always crack it open if I needed to, and then I'm going to make a chicken soup that I make in a crock pot, and then I'll just take that and freeze that, so I'll have chicken soup, and I'll have all these things that I want, and then, you know, everything else, I mean, you got to remember, too, there are things that you want to put in your storage that, you know, you'll want to have on the interim. I mean, a lot of the times you start craving things you never knew you craved. I remember when I was in South America, one of the things that they didn't have there was root beer. And I never thought I'd see the day where I'd say, hey, I want root beer. So I had my parents send me root beer extract so I could make root beer. Their punch or whatever they use for it's not, what I'm talking about, like fruit punch or like Kool-Aid. They didn't have Kool-Aid there.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to ask them to send us Kool-Aid because Kool-Aid tastes better and whatever. And all they had was something called Naranja, which is this orange crap they put in water. And that's all they drank. They drank Naranja. Hey, want Naranja? Oh, yeah, okay, we'll have Naranja. And that's all you drink. But, you know, here we have flavors. We have cherry. We have grape. We have lime. They didn't have that there. So we had to ask to have that in a care package. And then one day I was craving Cracker Jacks. I don't eat Cracker Jacks at all. I don't remember the last time I ate Cracker Jacks. When I was in South America, I wanted Cracker Jacks. And see, these are the things that people don't think about, is that when they're held up for a long period of time, when they're told they can't have something, that's the time you start wanting it, is when you can't have it. And that's, a lot of people don't understand that, but that's another thing that I think a lot of people need to be aware of, is that, you know, maybe throw in your the stuff you're saving and you're putting together, things that you would probably want. And that's, you know, comfort food. Janine was saying to me something, because I got Kraft macaroni and cheese. And she's saying, why'd you get that? And I said, because if I'm stuck in the house and I want some comfort food, I'll eat Kraft macaroni and cheese. You know?
What about you, Sherry? Are you prepared?
Yeah, but we didn't get greedy. I mean, I was on Amazon. I was looking at the N95, you know, the mask. And I can understand that the people at the front, the front line can use it. But, you know, talking about, like Clyde and I, all three of us were talking prior to going on air tonight. But the price gouging is ridiculous. I mean, the N95, these people are selling them for, you know, $300, $600. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh, it's terrible.
Yeah, frankly, you know, the only time you need a mask is when you want to protect others from your particles leaving your body. I mean, most of the time the virus is too big. It can get through on your ears. It can get through your eyes. People are using their masks going, oh, I'm protecting myself. But they forget they got other orifices that if they expose them to the disease, they're actually going to get the disease, like your eyes, your ears, your anus, all these parts of your body where these diseases can climb in and basically attack you. And so putting a mask on your face is not going to help you. I mean, it'll help you to keep the particles from hitting other people. But when a doctor puts on a mask, he's not putting on the mask because he's afraid he's going to get a disease from opening up somebody's guts. He's putting on the mask because he doesn't want any of his spit, snot, or whatever getting into the patient. That's why he wears it.
That makes sense. Totally makes sense. No, I just bought enough, you know, just bought extra just in case, you know, if the stores do shut down. But I bought one extra at Costco, you know, toilet paper roll or something like that. But, no, I didn't indulge. You see these people just go, it's like the end times or something. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, it's because they don't know how long this is going to go. And like I've always said, it's always nice to have either 2 weeks or a month. 2 weeks is when things usually get under control. You got to think about money. You got to think about how, like, for example, right now I'm looking at an article that's really made me angry. Apparently now Whole Foods has now said that, you know, Jeff Bezos, one of the richest men in the world, is telling his employees that if people need to take time off sick, to ask other fellow employees to donate their vacation time to them so they can get money. That's how greedy this guy is. Yeah.
Oh my
gosh.
I mean, this is it. This is the Ides of March. This is where we are now. We are at this place where, you know, and this is going to last for 2 weeks. Okay, this is going to be about 2 to 3 weeks of this. We're going to be going through this for 2 or 3 weeks. Then the repercussions of the anger and the want, and you're going to be seeing that too. You're just seeing more crime. It's going to bring up crime, right? Crime rate's going to be high. And so they may have to declare a little light martial law if they have to keep people from looting each other or fighting each other or whatever. I mean, that's what we have going on here. I've been hearing people yelling in the streets. I've been downtown. I hear people yelling in the streets. I'm hearing people yelling in my neighborhood. They're just yelling out to the world that, you know, they're either cold or hungry or whatever. And you just, you know, you just stay by your door and hope nobody comes in to try and take your food.
I'm kind of in a pickle because I'm part of the line of the, you know, the medical community. So it's not like I can't go to work, but I guess that is also kind of job security as well. Because they're not going to say don't come to work because we're the people treating the patients.
Yeah, you're going to come to work.
Yeah.
See, a lot of the medical people now are contracting it. They're getting the disease because they're thinking that, you know, and a lot of people are recovering. I mean, you know, they don't talk about the recovery, but it doesn't matter. It's like, I don't know. It's just bizarre.
So anyway, yeah, it's hey, I gotta ask you a question. Do you feel it's a bioweapon, Clyde?
Do I think it's a bioweapon?
Yep.
Yes, I do. I think it was a released gain of function Team Red bioweapon. Yep, I do. I think it was. We don't know who released it. I mean, people want to say that our government released it, but I think that the Chinese government probably released it as a what they call a quell. Where they were trying to quell the protesters, and they'd done a good job of it, and they were able to get martial law, and they were able to hunt down combatants saying we're doing this because of the disease, you know.
China saying we did it. Some Chinese generals saying that there were a bunch of American military over there, and they released the virus, and I thought that was a little far-fetched, but who knows in today's society.
Well, we don't know. We just know that it was a sequenced disease.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Well, it means it was genetically sequenced. It was done in a lab, and it was sequenced in a lab. What's that?
Oh, so that's been established?
No, it hasn't been established, and it won't be because that's not what people think. The situation is this. Whenever you're dealing with bio attack, I mean, that's the least thing that people think about. Why? Because you cannot trace a bio. You can't trace a bio attack. Unless somebody, like, drops a bomb over a city and drops, you know, some sort of disease or mustard gas or whatever. But if a bio attack happens, there's no way you can trace it. Now, we know that it came from Wuhan. We know it escaped from a lab. We know that it was found in, they say, in the meats there, which is about 25, 30 miles away from the Wuhan lab. But, you know, SARS was released accidentally. Accidentally, they say. SARS was released accidentally, and the Chinese government kept that quiet because it was an accident on their part. Well, this was probably released from a lab because, you know, China's been doing nothing but, you know, they've been doing nothing but these, you know, sequences of genetic sequencing. They've been using the COVID, not the COVID, but they've been using the CRISPR in order to, you know, genetically modify kids and genetically modify this. And so they're genetically modifying diseases. And so that's why we have a disease that has a, all the makings of like a Frankenviral disease is what it is. It's a mixture of a lot of diseases in one big disease. And that's the problem.
Wow.
That's frightening.
Yeah, I mean, they went in. What's that? Go ahead.
I said, hey, Clyde, your wife, listeners, Janine and I are friends. Anyway, Janine just sent me, St. Patrick's Day is canceled. Pubs in Ireland are asked to close until the end of March as a second person in the county dies from coronavirus, and the number of confirmed cases rises to 169.
In fact, I think she should come on because she one of the things about Janine is that she actually was the reason why I did my COVID, not my COVID, but my Clade X lecture when I did it in Palm Springs, because she said, you know, you need to pay attention to the tabletop exercises because, you know, she knows about these things. And so I paid attention to what she said. She gave me the tip, and I ran with it 2 years ago, and it's because of her foresight that I certainly have an idea of what's going on here. She would know better than me, I'm sure, on a lot of what we're talking about here. But it's one of those situations where, you know, she gave me the tip, and then I've turned into this, I don't know if I can call myself an expert, but I've turned into somebody who's well aware of how this is going to move, because, you know, there was a little something called Event 201. And Event 201 was a tabletop exercise that was done in October, where they said that they had a coronavirus called CAPS that they said was going to be released, called CAPS. And it wasn't called CAPS, they're calling it COVID-19. See, all these people are doing all of this, you know, speculation and everything that's just really not needful. They're saying, oh, it's all about 5G, and it's not about 5G. There's nothing about 5G, because everybody thinks that 5G is here. It's not here yet. It's not even close to being here yet. I mean, there's some cities that have it, but, you know, when you have, you know, every state except West Virginia with a case of COVID-19, you know, that's kind of bizarre. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. But you're looking at something now. This is why I think it's a sequenced type of disease, because it has, from what my research has, COVID-19 contains four insertions into the spike glycoprotein. And when you look at four insertions, and those insertions are sequences that are similar to the HIV-1 GP120 gene. So they basically put a glycoprotein and a genetic marker, four insertions of that marker into this disorder, which means it has, like HIV-1, it has the ability to kill the immune system or bring the immune system down. And so when you look at these inserts, they seem to have a high density of positively charged residues, which basically renders the virus more infectious due to a higher cell surface interaction. That's the situation. When you look at the tropism of the virus, it seems to be higher towards Asians. Why? Because they have a genetic situation called an ACE2 in their gene, and the ACE2 gene encodes the angiotensin converting enzyme, which has been proved to be the receptor for both the SARS coronavirus and the human respiratory coronavirus, which is NL63. There's also fungicides that also have been released that can be detrimental to the health, that basically lowers the immune system. And so there needs to be some sort of reverse immunotherapy for this, and they haven't found it yet. But we're looking at a coronavirus that is mutated once, because it has two strains now. They're not just one strain, but there are two strains, which means it's mutated at least once. So it's becoming its own clade. It's becoming its own ancestor, again, from an unknown originator, which makes it even more interesting. It could be, and there's another theory that it could be from outer space. But then again, you know, they're saying it's highly unlikely, because October of last year, China had a fireball hit there. And it could have sent what is known as panspermia into the atmosphere that could have rained down over several areas of China.
Wow.
Is there any possibility that this was engineered as a population reduction situation?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's basically killing off the elderly and the older people, so... I mean, we could say yes, but it's not going to – at the moment, it doesn't seem like it's doing a good job of it. It may be like – I don't know if it's doing a great job of it, but we'll see in the end when all this kind of wears down, if it wears down at all. I mean, the thing about this is this could last us months. It could last us until the season's over. It could die off immediately as quickly as it comes and burns off. And when it does, people are going to say, see, it was all a hoax. But no, they need to know something about diseases. Diseases can come quickly. And then it can go away just as quickly. And if they go away and peak off, what could happen is the same clade, which is in the resistor capability, learns how to think. And then once it learns how to think, it comes back with a vengeance. It knows, well, this is the cells that I can invade, and I can still feed off those cells. See, when we look at a virus such as coronavirus or COVID-19 as an alien invasion or an alien threat, when you look at it that way, you look at it as if the aliens are destroyed in one place, they certainly can find a way to thrive in another place. And that's how it works. That's how incursions happen. They happen when the diseases are not contained. And, you know, and to use a metaphor, you look at the zombie apocalypse. One of the things, I interviewed Max Brooks, who did a book called World War Z. And the movie, of course, came out and everything. He says, one of the things about a zombie apocalypse that nobody talks about is that zombie apocalypses shouldn't last that long. And the reason why they shouldn't last, like, for example, The Walking Dead's lasted, like, 10 years. A true zombie apocalypse would not last 10 years because a zombie is basically a representation of the invading horde of disease. It is basically the idea that what you're looking at is you're looking at a diseased individual that's trying to infect and feed just like a regular virus would. And so they feed on brains or they feed on the body, and if you get bitten, you basically are transmitting the disease. It's just the idea that getting it, it's the metaphor for a major disease that cannot be contained. Well, what eventually happens, though, is that the zombies basically eat all the healthy humans, and then there's no healthy humans left. And so what happens is that whatever happens is that disease dies. So the zombie apocalypse has to have an ending. If everybody turns into a zombie, then there are no more zombies to thrive, and they will just basically go away. They eventually go away because they can't nourish on brains, they can't nourish on anything else. That's why they wander around, is because they're looking to infect something else. But when there's nothing to infect, they just basically go away. They don't stick around.
Speaking of zombies, there are certain pathogens that actually alter people's behaviors. I think one off the top of my head is Toxoplasmosis gondii. And you see that in the natural world where these parasites or viruses alter behavior and you're not even aware of it. Yeah, cats, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, women who are pregnant shouldn't clean cat boxes because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's certainly a crazy world.
What were you going to say, Sherry?
Sorry, Sherry.
It's interesting how the virus is targeting older people. Do you think that might be a strategic plan in why it's affecting that type of population instead of just
general? Who's putting the burden? Who's putting the burden on the insurance companies? Who's putting the burden on healthcare? It's the baby boomers. This is a boomer virus, is what it is. They could call it the boomer virus and it'd still apply. So it's wiping out baby boomers. It's wiping out those who are between the ages of 60 and 70, or 60 and 80, 60 and 90. And because, you know, when you get to a certain age, you don't have the same elasticity in your lungs when you get pneumonia. Usually around the time of, you know, when you're 70, if you get pneumonia, you're pretty much a goner. Because, you know, my father died of pneumonia. He went in for an operation on his foot. They gave him antibiotics. He wound up with C. diff. And then from C. diff, he wound up with pneumonia and he died. So, and that took about 3 months. Go in for one operation, end up getting infected with C. diff in the hospital for another month, and then C. diff turns into pneumonia, and he dies because of an operation on his heel.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's how it accelerates. It goes from sniffles to death. That's why you always need to look for potential problems. That's why that... You know, people say, well, if you feel, you know, a certain way, you should have your doctor look into it because it could be anything. And you have the potential of getting this, 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 and this because of age, weight, things you eat, things you drink, things you smoke, that sort of thing.
Well, hopefully it doesn't bring an end to us all, or hopefully it dies out soon. I know things tend to come in waves. But I also want to ask you...
And they were saying that if you do recover, it's already in the lungs, it causes a little bit of scarring. The potential of coming back, if you do get it again, it's more lethal, they say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have the scarring in the lungs, that's going to... Every time you scar your lungs, it's going to add more problems to the situation, yeah.
Exactly. Go ahead, mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jason.
So what else is going on out there that our listeners might not be aware of? I mean, there's always stuff going on. And is there anything else we can illuminate our listeners on?
I've been locked out of Facebook for 24 hours.
Well, let me see. What can I tell you?
It is.
There's an attempt by as an attempt by D-Wave Computers and Kindred Computers to try and communicate with aliens using quantum computers. We did a show about that the other day, the quantum nature of communicating with ultra-terrestrials. The only problem they have with it, though, is they're trying to find what is known as the quantum key that they can use, that they can understand language, and they're thinking that the only way to send a quantum key is to send our DNA, and that they can read our DNA to see what kind of what we are, if the aliens are out there or the ultra-terrestrials within the dimensions are out there, because if they're able to communicate through the dimensions, they'll be able to see the quantum key, which our quantum key is our DNA, and they'll be able to see what kind of a creature we are, so they know whether or not to communicate with us.
Or destroy us.
Yeah, or destroy us, depending. Yeah, true.
Interesting. That stuff is way too
I'm also working on something else right now, which is interesting, that perhaps Nostradamus predicted the coronavirus.
Ooh. Do tell.
What's that?
Do tell. What was his prediction?
Well, it was in 1555, I think it was, I mean, what I understand. It was 1555 when, I guess, Nostradamus came up with the outbreak of the coronavirus. And what happened, and this is something that I was looking this over the other day, and it's a claim, and I'm going to be looking into it a little more, but there was it was written. Let me see what it was here. Okay, all right. So first of all, we look at, like I said, it happened in 1555. There was a thing that he wrote. It wasn't his regular predictions. He wrote epistles to several kings and queens, because they were basically, what they were doing was they were actually pushing him to write other things for, you know, certain royalty. And so he wrote something called, his first book called Les Prophéties, which is the prophecies. And he had these predictions of the future. And I think it's the same one where people, you know, always look at the centuries and they look at the quatrains, they look at all this stuff. And they were going through, I guess it was Wikisource, went through the went through all of these things for the foreseeable future, and they found some information. And one of the things that they first found, this is from the prophecies, he says, "From the depths of Western Europe, a young child will be born of poor people. He who by his tongue will seduce a great troop, his fame will increase towards the realm of the East. Beasts ferocious with hunger will cross the rivers." This is talking about Hitler. "The greater part of the battlefield will be against Hister." He calls him Hister, not Hitler. "But into a cage of iron, the great one will be drawn. When the child of Germany observes nothing, the two quatrains towards the east gates of the cities, there will be scourges like which has never been seen. Famine within plague, people put out by steel, crying to the great immortal God for their relief." Okay. And then there was a... Another quatrain where it's century 1153. This is, it says, "The great plague of the maritime city will not cease until there be avenged the death of the just blood condemned for a price without crime of the great lady unwronged by pretense." So the great maritime city, people have been saying it's Wuhan. Well, Wuhan's not really a maritime city, but what other maritime city was hit by coronavirus? Any guesses?
Sure. Something in Italy, maybe?
No.
Seattle?
Yes. Seattle.
Yeah.
Seattle was hit. And so when they talk about a maritime city, they're trying to say it was Wuhan, but Wuhan's not a maritime city. Then there is a Nostradamus quatrain that, and this is the one that's the most interesting. This is back in 1555 again, and it says, "In the year of the twins, there will rise a queen from the Orient who will extend her plague from the creatures of the night to the land of the seven hills, transforming to dust men who are their twilight, who are in their twilight, bringing an end to the world economy as we know it."
Oh, my God, that is crazy.
Yeah, so, okay, when you think about Y en el año de los gemelos, the twins, okay? Gemelos, that means twins. So the year of the twins. So 2020.
2020,
that's,
yeah.
That's twin numbers, 2020, in the year of the twins. It says, Sergio una reina corona. There will follow or there will come a queen with a crown, corona. And then it says, desde el oriente, China, the Orient. Then it says, que extendrá su plaga, which means will extend her plague. De los seres de la noche, the creatures of the night. Okay? It'll come from the creatures of the night. Now, what are the creatures of the night? Ah, the creatures of the night. Such sweet music they make.
Bats.
What's that? Bats. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay? And then it says, a la tierra de las siete colinas. And that means the land of the seven hills. The land of the seven hills has always been Italy. Italy. It says here, transformando en el polvo means changing to dust. Death. Muerte. A los hombres, are the men de crepúsculo, or meaning old, the old men, the ancianos, the elders. It says men who in their twilight, elderly. And then it says fin de la economía mundial, tal como la conocemos, which means it's the beginning of the end of the economy for the world.
I'll be honest, that's kind of freaking me out.
Well, it's a good thing I know I can speak Spanish and I can even think Italian here for a minute. But yeah. This is published in Italian, Spanish. En el año de los gemelos, Sergio el Reina Corona, desde el Oriente, que extendrá su plaga de los seres de la noche a la tierra y las siete colinas, transformando en el polvo hombres de los ancianos para culminar a la sombra de la reunidad, fin de la economía mundial, tal como conocimos.
Because it's already affecting Chinese economy. So if the world economy crashes because of this, I mean, what are we looking at? Like complete chaos?
We're looking at a world order.
Yeah,
we're looking at a world
That's
order.
Terrifying.
This is the way to get into the world order. That this is the way to thrust us into the new world order right here.
Like one world government kind of thing?
Yeah, or at least a world health organization or a world banking situation.
Hmm. Wow, I need to go find a cave.
See, what do you think is the banks going to happen? Is our dollar going to be worthless or is it going to change? Or what do you think, Clyde?
I don't know, probably a cashless society if anything else. I mean, we don't even carry cash anymore, so I can just see that happening.
Going to be looting and all sorts of stuff going on when that initially happens. It's not going to
be
a fun time to be alive.
Well, it's just going to be like living in any other country. We're not unique anymore, you know. We used to be unique, but now we're not unique anymore. And it's what people have been wanting all along. They've been wanting to not be Americans. They've been saying things like they want socialism and they want all this other stuff. I mean, well, but you're going to get it, whether you like it or not.
Well, time to load up on some food.
Is there any way we can get out of this? Prepare? What do you suggest?
Adapt.
Okay.
That's all you can do is adapt. You have to adapt. Look, you can fight, but what's that going to get you? You're one person against the world. And like I've always said, I did a whole show about the idea that people adapt more than they fight. And I think that's the only thing to do. It's not like you're surrendering. It's just that you're adapting until something better comes along.
It's like
people always think, oh, I'm fighting. I'm going to fight. Well, yeah, okay. You and whose army? Who are you going to fight against? Are you fighting against yourself? Are you gonna harm your family? See, when we get into those modes where we say we're fighting, there's two things that people need to understand about why Hitler comes to power and why all these people come to power. It's called, you know, self-preservation and appropriateness. Those are two things that literally feed how people react to something like this. First is self-preservation. Okay, so if my world tomorrow becomes a world of tyranny, am I going to fight? Well, if I fight, I lose my wife, I lose my life, I lose my family, I lose my job. And they put that all into consideration, you know. And so those are the things that, you know, you look at. The other is it appropriate? Is what I am doing appropriate for the greater good? Am I doing this out of selfishness, or am I doing this because I have some code of conduct that no one else is going to be abiding by, so I might as well, you know, whatever. I mean, they can, you know, it's like, you know, you can say about the words insane and sane. Insane and sane are a fine line. Reality is a word that you always use in quotes. One day you're going to wake up in a padded cell wondering what happened to the world. That's the whole point. If you're going to be the one that wants to go into the padded cell, then by all means, be a fighter. Then by all means, do what you need to do. If you want to live with that, if that's in your scope of appropriateness, then by all means, do it. But see, that's the thing. It's about self-preservation. It's about appropriateness. What is appropriate for your family? What's appropriate for your well-being? What is going to help self-preserve your family, your life, your wife, your kids, that kind of thing? Those are the things you think about when you're thinking about, well, what's going to happen? What are we going to do? You just do what you have to do in order to survive.
That's true. I mean, those are words of wisdom. Fighting, I agree, is not going to get you anywhere. Not anywhere good, anyhow.
Well, when I talked that way, I talked that way the other night about that on the show, and I said, you know, this is coming. And some woman called up and she said, well, if they take our guns, me and a bunch of people are going to fight. Well, good for you. I'm glad. So let's see. You know, you're going to use your guns against an army of other people, and we're going to have a war. Most people, it's all about enforcement, too. I mean, when you're dealing with something like this, if there's an enforcement going on, people will abide by what they feel is the law. They answer to authority. It's always been that way. People answer to authority. You ever heard of the Milgram experiment?
No.
The Milgram experiment was an experiment where a guy in a lab coat, he just had to wear a lab coat, brought somebody into a room, sat them down, and said, on the other end, you don't see the guy, but on the other end, you'll hear him. There's a guy hooked up to electrodes. We want you to fire a low charge of electricity, and we're just doing this for a test. Will you do this, please? Yeah. So the people would fire the electric shock. Your guy go, ooh, ow. And say, okay, do it again. And the guy says, okay. Ow! And he goes, this guy sounds like he's pain. No, he can take it. Just go ahead and do it. And he kept doing it until the guy says, I'm dying here. Don't do it. He says, he's just lying. He's not dying. Just keep doing it. And they kept doing it until they told the people, well, I guess he's not doing well. We're going to have to go check what's going on. But the thing is the authority told them to do it, and so they did it. People just basically answer to authority.
People are sheep, a good majority of them. Do what
yeah,
you're
they
told.
Are. Do what you're told, even if it's not in your best interest, then people will do it.
Well, I hope it doesn't come to that.
I hope it doesn't either, but it just seems to me that things like that do happen, you know.
Pastor Jonathan,
you know, that's
got me freaked
what's
out. Nostradamus got me freaked out. It freaked
me
out.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I was just reading it. It was in Spanish, it looks like it's in Spanish. But then again, it could be in Italian for all I know. Crepúsculo, ancianos, hombres del para culminar en la sombra de la reunidad. Fin de la economía mundial tal como la conocemos. Like we've never seen before. Like something we've never seen before. So, good thing I know Spanish. I'd be able to get that out to people and have them hear it. And you know what? The thing is that this is exclusive to your show because I was going to kind of talk about it tomorrow on mine. So, you know, I discovered this as I was reading through my notes. So, anyway.
So, what do you
think appreciate
about what do you think about Governor Brown limiting the people for, 250? If you have 250 or over, they're going to ban social gatherings and things. Why that number? What was 250?
Well, I mean, it was just a number she threw out there because I think Governor Inslee of Washington said that. In New York, it's 500 people or more. It's just basically saying that, you know, we're basically telling you to stay out of groups of 500 or more. It just depends. I mean, like, if you go to a bar and you have, like, maybe four or five people there, that's not going to be a big deal. I mean, it just depends on, you know, if you receive the luck of the draw, then you see the luck of the draw. I mean, the other night I was with my wife. We went to our favorite place. There were, like, maybe four or five people there. We were singing karaoke. So, I mean, if we were exposed to anything, it's because we were singing on that microphone. But I'm just saying that, you know, the more people you're with in a room, the chances you're going to get of getting coronavirus. You know, people who are celebrating, you know, St. Patrick's Day today, they're certainly, you know, they're not using their heads. They're going to bars and they're drinking with buddies and everything else because they say, well, I'm not going to let it bring me down. But see, that's not the point. The point is it's not that I'm going to defy this because, you know, no one's going to tell me what to do. Well, okay. You know, that's the thing. Americans are going to suffer because we have been told that we have a right to do whatever we want. And that's not what it's about. It's not about what we want to do. It's about what we need to do to make this country work. And people have forgotten that. It's not about what you want. It's about what you need. And when the government steps in, and I told people, I mean, I was just discussing with Janine the Stafford Act. They basically put the Stafford Act into play, which means that, yeah, they can do medical martial law whenever they want to. They can put that into play whenever they want to. I did a story for the Idaho Examiner back in, I think it was like right after Hurricane Katrina. It was like 2005. And it was called the Harm Principle. And the Harm Principle is where they say you can say what you want, you can do what you want, you can do whatever, but the minute it starts hurting someone else or harming them, you know, the minute it starts doing that, you know, you have to understand, you know, you have to understand that you don't do that.
What a mess.
Well, Sherry, I got to step out, so I'm going to let you guys continue. Clyde, it's been a great pleasure. Thanks for taking the time to come on. And I know you and Sherry probably have more to talk about, but I got to step out.
Oh, okay.
You have to probably go
quick
to something to eat, probably knowing you, Jason.
Yeah, you know. All right, I'll let you guys go.
All right, well, good yourself. Talking to you.
But, I don't know. Maybe we're coming into end times. Who knows, Clyde, you know, really.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be end times. I mean, it's just one more on the you know, notch, you know, one more on the, you know, just one more thing to have us wonder about our fragility, how life is fragile. And I think about that, confronted with it, and, you know, maybe I could overdo it too, but, you know, I don't think I am. I think that when I care about my family and when I care about, you know, my wife especially, you know, I maybe I overdo it. But, I mean, I'd rather overdo it than not do enough. And that's always – I always feel like I never do enough. I can't do enough, you know. And you know my wife, you know, Janine, and it's like I just feel like that, you know, I need to do a lot for her because she's remarkable. I mean, if there's one thing that can be left that's going to keep things going, it's going to be her. And I just don't want anything to, you know, get in the way of what she's doing and how she is and what's going on with her because she's amazing.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, absolutely. My gosh. Yeah, she was going to, yeah, she just, like I said, she, you know, texted me about that Irish thing. I didn't know they were going to shut it down. Wow. At least they're doing
MGM away. Grand just laid off, this was just announced, MGM Grand Hotel laying off and furloughing most of their facility staff today, including directors and managers. Some have been at the property for 20 years.
Really?
So they're closing down MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas. It's closing.
Wow. This is temporary until this gets through.
What's that?
Yeah. El Gaucho's. I saw El Gaucho's, and I think Farmhouse is closing too, but they're doing catering.
Who's closing down?
El Gaucho's restaurant.
Oh, the Argentine restaurant?
Yeah. I saw that in the Oregonian the other day, Oregon Live.
They're closing down. Why?
Because of the virus. I mean, they're just temporary. They're just doing
not that their steaks are like $75 a steak, or
I don't know. Didn't say. Just say they're just temporary closing while the coronavirus is going on.
Okay.
$75. I've been there. Believe me, I don't think it's worth it, but that's just me.
Well, the only time I was there, it was funny because there was a guy from CNN that was a reporter, and he came in and he wanted to take us all out to dinner. And he said, does anybody have what's the most expensive place to go eat a good steak? Or no, he didn't say this. He says, where is the best steak? And at the time, you know, we were thinking Ringside, we were thinking Ruth's Chris. He says, I don't want to go to Ruth's Chris. He says, they have Ruth's Chris everywhere. He says, where's a good steak that's unique to Oregon? And I said, El Gaucho. And he said, El Gaucho. I says, yeah, that's kind of an Argentine place. I said, they have the Argentine cuts. And I said, I lived in South America, and so the Argentine cuts are really good. And so we went there, and I saw the menu, and I said, my gosh. I said, we could go somewhere else. He goes, oh, no, this is on CNN. So CNN paid, like, you know, for me, I guess I got one of the best steaks there for like $35-40. And of course everything else. So it was a good, like $80, $80 meal. So everybody, $80 a piece on CNN. What's that?
I said, everything else is add on. That's just the steak alone. That's not including your drink, your other, all your sides, everything is all pieced together.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's good steak, but it's like, you know, just depends on, you know, if you want to spend, you know, that much for a steak.
Well, I'd rather go with the, you know, ambiance of El Gaucho. I'd rather go to Fogo de Chão personally. So.
Oh yeah, I love Fogo de Chão. I can easily though drop $200 at Fogo de Chão without even thinking. So, but yeah, it's a good meal.
Favorite.
In fact, that's where Janine and I went after
is.
We got married was Fogo de Chão. We went to Fogo de Chão.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That was
the place we went to eat for our, I guess you call it a wedding breakfast or something breakfast. I don't know what you call it. Or dinner or whatever you call it. Yeah.
So, yeah, this is only just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, to me, you know, as a psychic, I'm thinking that this is, you know, what they think is, you know, it's a case and case and case and then cluster, cluster, and then you go boom, you know. I think in Oregon, and this is what I feel, in Oregon, it's just still case. It's not even clusters. It's starting a little bit here and there, but we're still working on case. What's your thought on that?
Still working on what?
We're talking about the coronavirus, about the different cases that are coming up.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that once they bring in more tests, I think more people are going to be tested. They're going to find out they have it. And then, of course, the numbers are going to correct themselves. We're going to be seeing more people. But this is going to breed more panic in a lot of people. People are thinking, well, look at how many people are dying. Look how many of this. Well, they're not going to tell you how many are going to recover because then you'll say, well, people recover. Well, of course they recover. And, you know, people recover from heart attacks, too. Most people die. A lot of people die. Most people, they're told not to smoke and they'll get lung cancer. Well, a lot of people don't get lung cancer, but then eventually they do. You know, that's the thing is that you're just taking, it's always rolling the dice here when you're dealing with something like this. And if you don't want to get sick, if you don't want to take that chance of winding up in the hospital with pneumonia on a respirator or an intubator or whatever, then you're going to be a little bit more aware of your hand washing. You'll be a little bit more aware of where you touch your face and you'll be a little bit more aware of your hygiene and, you know, that sort of thing. You're not going to be so nonchalant about it. And I think that's what's going on. It's basically going to change behaviors, if not anything else. And it's going to change behaviors either for the better or for the worse. And I just don't want – I can see – because I lived through it in South America. I can see how ugly it can get. And it's one of the things that I'm having flashbacks with right now is that I'm seeing this type of thing happen here when I saw the same thing happen in South America. And I saw how people reacted. And saw, you know, what they were doing. And while, yeah, you could go home, kick off your shoes, read a good book or do whatever, you hear people in the streets screaming and yelling. You hear people, like, banging things and saying, I'm hungry and, you know, that sort of thing. And that's the problem is that, you know, and then people start doing desperate things. And when they start doing desperate things, you tend to think, you know, because that can happen to someone across the street. Someone could freak out or a person could get coronavirus in your apartment complex and they could quarantine the entire complex. I mean, these are the things that I think people need to understand how it works. I mean, when I was in South America, they would quarantine areas, but they had the governments. Here's the thing: governments quarantined areas, even though, and they did so because they had someone there that they wanted to get out of there. They wanted to shake down, and I think that's the thing, is that they wanted to shake someone down, and that's what they're going to do with this. They're going to use it to, you know, spy on people. And they're going to use it to listen on conversations. They're going to justify it. And that's the thing, is that if this goes long, 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 it'll become suspicious, in my opinion, because because diseases, you know, they fade away and then they come back. They don't remain for a long period of time because they run out of people to infect. And so if this goes on, I think if this goes on well into April or May, I'd be very surprised. I'd be very surprised.
Really? Okay. You think it's short-lived?
Well, I'm not going to say that officially. What I'm going to say is, though, I'd be very surprised if it goes beyond the spring. If it does, that's something for the record. But I would say that, but 3 or 4 weeks being told you can't do certain things is a lot. It's a lot of time. I mean, you got to figure that, you know, being told no for 3 or 4 weeks is really hard. It's like you're pretty much in thought jail or action jail. You can't do things unless you're told it's okay. And that's going to be a long time for a lot of people. And not only that, but we don't know the repercussions of this. I mean, nothing's going to wind up being all well and good after people have been barricaded or told not to do anything for 3 or 4 weeks. People, once they get told they can do something, are going to freak out, or they're going to do it anyway. And other people are going to say, oh, you know, what are you doing? You're trying to expose my family? And then we start having fights, and we start having wars and civil wars and incivility. I mean, that's another thing we have to brace for, too. As you know, while the disease is over, you have to also look at human behavior and say, are we going to look at this mature? Are we going to be mature about it? Or are we going to all freak out over it? And people will freak out over it. Even if the disease is gone, they're going to freak out of it. So.
Oh, wow. That's too bad. Yeah. And can't help it. They're being fed in the media all kinds of stuff. How many people are dying and yada yada yada. I mean, it just won't quit.
Nope.
And they'll get their information from CNN or ABC News, and you know they don't think about they don't do their research or question.
No, they don't question. But it's turning into a political. I can't say the word I was going to say. It's turning into a political crap show. And a cluster, and it's just, that's another thing too, is the politics are taking over, and that always ruins everything too.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe this is a distraction from what's really going on.
Whatever that might be.
You know, it's just you never know.
Yeah, I'm reading the church is canceled. People can't go to church in New York either. Anyway, what's up? What are you saying?
The Facebook, boy, that is something else. I couldn't believe what I'm going through right now. I guess I have to wait. I'm in jail right now. I got to wait. I got locked out. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, this is the way it's going to be for a few weeks, so be ready. I'm already kind of burned out over it, and I'm just kind of, I'm falling apart over it. Not really, you know, like I'm losing my mind, but I just don't feel like I can do enough, and that's my problem. I don't feel like I can do enough to help my family. I don't feel like I can do enough to help myself, and so I just have to wait for it to pass. It's like waiting for the angel of death to pass over. You know, you put the blood on the wall and hope the angel of death passes. That's all I hope. It's like, it's what it is. It's just, you're waiting for something, this to die down. You're waiting for the hype to die down. You're waiting for the freak out to die down. And it's not going to die down anytime soon.
People ask me, am I depressed about this? I said, no, I'm not. You know, I'm not, I'm just riding it out. I'm adapting, like you said, but I'm not getting depressed. You know,
well, it's not depression. It's not about the depression. It's just the idea that, once you're faced with the idea that, you know, you want to make sure everybody around you is comfortable, and that's the way I feel. I hope everybody around me is comfortable. I want my family to be comfortable. I want my wife to be comfortable. I want my stepson to be comfortable. I want everything to be, you know, I want everything to be peachy, and I know it's not going to be all the time. And I know I have a strong wife, and I know I have a really, you know, down-to-earth young man in my life, and that's Liam. He's amazing. And I know that I've got my family, and that's all that I have to go on. But, I mean, I have to go out, and I didn't want to go out on Saturday, but I did. I shopped anyway. But you have to go out, brave the cold, brave, you know, seeing people, coming in contact with people every day. I mean, it was so bad the other day, Friday. I came in, and they said our building was on lockdown, only essential personnel. And then what was funny is they said, well, we're going to have to petition your parent company to see if they want to fork over $1,800 to have you broadcast from your house. So they were going to have me broadcast my show from my house using the equipment that Janine uses for her show that she does on the Fringe FM on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. You know, and that's the thing is that she'd be doing Real Talk, and then I'd have to do my stuff, you know, from 7 to midnight live in my own apartment. And it just isn't going to work. Can't work.
Yeah. It's hard.
So.
Yeah, we can do. I don't know, Clyde. It's crazy.
It's just some different ideas and some different things right now that, you know, why do I have to have my life disrupted for this? I just don't understand. But it's happening, and it's because of other decisions that are being made by people who are controlling. And it's like when I don't have control of something, I'm not a control freak, but if I can't control something, that's what I complain about. I complain about things I can't control. Those things I can control, I don't complain about. When I'm in a situation where I can't control something that I know I could have control over, like, you know, whether or not I go to work or whether or not I feed my family or whether or not I get my money made, that's the thing that I think about.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, a lot of events are closing down. I mean, as you know, you and I both go to the Oregon Ghost Conference, and I was not surprised that they canceled it. So, you know,
yeah.
It's just one of those things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking they were going to do it. I knew they were going to do it weeks before they, you know, I knew that Governor Brown was going to do what she was going to do because Governor Brown's Governor Brown, and, you know, we all know how Governor Brown is. What's that? Yeah.
Not surprised at all. Wow.
Yeah.
So
I don't know of anybody. I don't know of anybody that likes Kate Brown. But anyway, that's some story.
So what else is going on in your world, or something to talk about?
Nostradamus, alien contact. What else am I talking about? Oh, a lot of quantum stuff. A lot of quantum physics and a lot of dimensional stuff. And panpsychism along with superposition, all that stuff is right now the thing that's interesting. AI is always interesting, how
AI?
They're using it. What's that?
What is AI?
Artificial intelligence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, artificial intelligence, and they just created these small little brains that they can use to they made them from frog tissue. And so they have these little brains that they've created. They're able to put them in, probably able to put them in little creatures or put them in machines to have them have organic brains. It's almost like the organic singularity. That's what's happening right now. Those are the only really interesting things that I see. The North Star seems to be fading out and re-brightening up like Betelgeuse. Something's going on. I think big things are passing in front of these stars to make them dim, but they worry that, you know, when they do this, it means they may go supernova. And that would really be bad if Polaris went supernova, because that would be our North Star, and we wouldn't have anything. Our direction would be screwed up if we didn't have a North Star.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Boy. Yeah, it's been a trying time, that's for sure. Very much
yep.
so.
Mm-hmm.
But, aliens. Andrea Perrin was talking about the aliens, you know, the other day, and you know, how they're kind of pretty much aware of what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, now we have this year is, you know, contact in the desert. We're going to be probably hoping going to that. It's in April, May, so we're hoping that that's not going to be canceled. If it does get canceled, I'd be very surprised, because they don't have a reason to cancel it. I think people are canceling sometimes. I mean, when you're looking at things happening in this summer, you know, canceling summer events is kind of silly. Canceling now, I can understand. You know, I can understand canceling certain things right now. But, I mean, there's some concerts that aren't canceling. They're not going to cancel. I know that Tool had a concert a while ago, and everybody went to it.
Yeah.
You know, other bands are still touring, so I don't know if they're going to cancel their shows. So that's just something that I don't understand, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and the thing is, kind of, you know, you got to have some kind of common sense, but you can't be, I don't know, to me, you can't live in a bubble, you know. It's just like, oh, I'm afraid to get out of here, you know, I got to stay indoors, you know. I think you just have a little bit of common sense where you go and what time you go. I mean, like with me,
well,
I
that's
go
just the thing is that the lack of common sense, Sherry, is the reason why they're going to be enforcing it, because people don't use common sense. They just don't. They don't know how. They don't want to be told
yeah.
no. I have the right to say what I want to say. I have the right to bear arms. I have the right to do this. I have the right to do that. You don't have jack, you know. If the government tells you you don't have it, you don't have it. And people don't understand that. And they go, oh, yeah, I do. Well, okay, then why don't you go try and change the world? That would make everybody happy. That's the problem is that, you know, all of the big talk goes away when bombs go off. All the big talk goes away. You know, it's like they say, there's never an atheist in a foxhole. Well, yeah. I mean, people have the freedom here in America to say, I want vegan food. Or people have they have all that. But you know what? What if all the produce is destroyed? Then what are you going to do? What are you going to eat then? Well, I guess I have to eat meat. Well, yeah, I guess you have to. See, that's the thing is that we have the luxury here of saying we're vegan. We have the luxury here of saying that we're not going to eat wheat. We have the luxury here we're going to not eat GMO. But you know what? If you're starving and that's all you got, that's all you got. I remember back when I was a Mormon. I was a good Mormon boy. And I was working for Salt Lake County Public Works. And we were out in the middle of nowhere. And the foreman went out and got everybody beer. Okay? Got everybody a beer. And I don't drink. And as a Mormon, you don't drink beer. And so he brought the cooler of beer, and he thought everybody on the crew would have a beer. So I didn't have any water. I figured, well, that's the closest thing to water I have, so I guess I'm going to have to drink a beer. And I told a guy one time, I drank the beer because there was no water. And he says, well, you should not have drank the beer. The Lord would have provided. And I looked at him, I go, are you out of your mind? I go, no, I'm going to have a beer. If that's all that's left to drink, I'm going to drink a beer. I'm not going to go to hell for drinking a beer. But then, see, that's how people think, you know. It's like, well, you know, you should have, you know, the Lord will provide you something if you don't drink a beer. Well, no, the Lord wouldn't provide me water when there's no water for miles. You know, it's not going to happen. So.
Well, I don't know if you want to cross that line, but, you know, my thoughts are, oh, my gosh, you know, just a lot of, what do you call that, brainwashing. You know, if you don't believe in God, you're going to go to hell. What, is there really a hell? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I've been seeing a lot of people online saying, oh, well, God will provide. Jesus will provide. I'm like going, well, he is providing. It's called Walmart. It's called Winco. It's called, you know, get off your butt and get something bought. It's like, go get food. You know, prepare. I told people, you know, back when I was prepared, I said, go to preparewithgroundzero.com and get your food. And people are going, no, it's too much. So then I lowered the price. I said, go get your food. And some people still are saying, oh, it's too much. I'm going, you know what? You know, I'm sorry. But if the Lord's going to provide for you, I guess you're just expecting him to whip up something in front of you so you can have it to eat. You know, there are things that we've provided for you. We're trying to provide for you. And there are people just stubborn. They're just so stubborn. And you're like going, what is the deal? You know, you can see where this is going. Let's understand what's going on here and not pretend like it's not happening. Just because you're not feeling it doesn't mean it's not happening, you know?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh, it's crazy. Yeah, I just think that I don't want to be around too many crowds, so I'll just time it so I can go and get my things done. Just like going to the gym.
Well, yeah,
I
wanted to go shopping, like, late at night, you know, when nobody's around.
Yeah.
And I also, you go to the stores, like, out in the middle of nowhere. Like, I know somebody who said that they went shopping in Damascus. And they said, the stores are full in Damascus because nobody's shopping in Damascus. Like, hey, where do you want to go? Well, we're going to drive all the way out to Damascus so we can get food because nobody shops in Damascus. So. Instead of bar hopping, you got to go store hopping. Oh, let's go find a store that has toilet paper. Oh, let's go to another store. You know, let's go to a store that has hands. No hand sanitizer for 50 miles. I mean, that's different now. You get to go store hopping not to find clothes or shoes. You're going to find food, and you're going to find toilet paper. You're going to find hand sanitizer. So
you're right. That best hand sanitizer is washing your hands. It really is.
Yep. Right.
You know, and plain bleach. No, they say vinegar. You can use vinegar and hydrogen peroxide, but people, you know, they get really uptight and they'll just, you know, go crazy. It's like really crazy.
Yeah, it is.
But anyway, well, thank you, Clyde. I appreciate you coming on.
Sure. I enjoyed the time.
Yeah, it's great. It's always good to have you back. And, you know, I just wanted to cover the coronavirus. Unless you want to talk about something else, I'm open to it. But, yeah, that was what I wanted to see, what your take was, and to share people, you know, we're on Spotify, iHeart, and Alexa, and all these other things. And I just wanted to have you share your thoughts and how you feel about these things that are happening right now.
I just tell people that they need to be prepared. And they need to keep their wits about them. They need to do things out of respect and decency. Be decent to people. Be respectful for people. If people are going through whatever they're going through emotionally, try to be empathetic. Try to understand why they're going through it. Because people react different ways. Some people deny. They're in denial. Some people go out and they shop till they drop. Other people, they hide in their bedrooms. I mean, everybody has a different way of dealing with this, and we have to find, you know, we have to be able to be understanding and loving of people and say, you know, okay, you know, it's good to comfort them. I mean, I'm always, you know, I always believe in comforting, trying to comfort as much as I can. I mean, I don't always have, I'm not always at my best either, and I don't ever, you know, and I always try, but sometimes I always fail. But it's like I'm a human being, and you know, we're trying to make the best of it what we can, and it's been weighing on me a lot. I mean, I can't sleep sometimes, and you know, I've been feeling kind of, you know, and the funny thing is, you don't sleep, you don't feel good, and so you're thinking, oh, am I coming down with the coronavirus? And it's like, if you do, then it's going to be hell. But I think Janine and I, we both thought we came down with it at the beginning of the year, so maybe we've gotten over it and we're now just waiting, watching everybody else get it. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, be healthy and everything. I feel sorry. And you're absolutely correct. I mean, just be having compassion and understanding and things like that. And, you know, people are losing their jobs and, you know, they're going to be cutting back and everything else. So it's going to, you know, it's going to weigh not only on the economy, but on people personally, their emotional and mental and spiritual needs. So, yeah, that's all you can do is just try and be a little bit more sympathetic.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, Clyde, I'm going to let you go so you can, you know, enjoy the rest of your evening. And I think last time we were on radio, we were at 8 o'clock, but now we're getting a little bit earlier to reach people a little bit earlier so that, you know, you can enjoy the evening or, you know, reach people that are on the other side. So, but, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on your program.
Yes, thank you. And we'll talk to you later. Take care.
Have a good night. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, you too. Thank you. Hey, everybody, thank you for listening to Paranormal Horizons with Jason and me, Psychic Medium Sherry. If you ever want to be on, if you ever want to get a hold of me for a psychic reading or a mediumship reading or a traditional Chinese medicine, practitioner reading, just get a hold of me on Facebook at Psychic Medium Sherry or www.psychicmediumsherry.weebly.com. So until next week, I hope everybody stays safe, be happy, and like Clyde said earlier, hey, treat everybody, you know, just with the compassion and just, you know, have patience with everybody in these trying times. So in the meantime, I'll see you next week, and take care and peace.